everybody, and welcome back to Spirits of Success, our comedy video game design podcast, where we take your horrible, nasty, stinky, cursed suggestions from the internet and turn those into the next AAA bestsellers.
Ooh, I like the addition of, like, we take their sweet, nasty, awful video game ideas, because that, you know, we got to start really leaning into that. I feel like last week with our guest Jupiter, oh, hello, my name is Blake, by the way, I'm one of your hosts.
And I'm AJ Hart, and I think I already said that, but I'm not certain anymore.
I feel like our last game with Jupiter, like, we made two very, very good horror games. This week, AJ, I want to make a stinky game. I want to make a game that, like, will, one, make Spiritual Successor bankrupt.
I'm sorry, you're trying to bankrupt our company now?
I mean, like, isn't that the goal with every...
No. Our goal
is to make
an assload of money. I want Jeff Bezos to look at us and be like, damn, that's a lot of money.
I want the new Avengers game to look at us and be like, fuck, why didn't we think of that? For those that don't know, the new Avengers game is absolute fucking garbage, in my opinion.
Have you played it?
No, but like, we were talking...
I hate that game.
Hold on. I do want to... I have seen a lot of this game, though I have not played it. I looked into it. Each character has their own fucking battle pass that you need to buy individually. That is the suckiest thing I have ever heard in my life. After paying $60, the last thing I want to do is, how many characters are in the launch game, in the launch thing?
Probably it's like six.
It's like six, and each battle pass is like, what, $5 to $10?
Probably,
AJ,
yeah.
It's not a $60 game. It's a fucking $90 game now, and I hate it. I hate it. Thank you. I hate it.
Yeah, you're talking shit, but let me propose to you this. Iron Man. But he's got a Santa hat on now.
Yeah.
Sister money, please.
I don't know. Like, I'm okay with the idea of games charging premiums for things. It's just really dumb when gameplay is locked behind, like, basic gameplay is locked behind a paywall. Imagine if Destiny was like, hey, you can do these raids, but you got to pay for the raids, and you also need to pay for the battle pass to get those things from the raids.
Blake, I do hate to have to be the person that says this, but I do believe that there is stuff locked behind a paywall. There's entire missions that, like, you and I get to do because we pay for the season pass.
Uh-huh.
But you know those missions that where we've been, like, climbing inside the pyramids or whatever? And, like, being like, oh, damn, there's all sorts of, like, yucky goo over here.
But that's because it's DLC, and DLC,
no,
I
that's
understand.
Part of the season pass, dog.
It's part of... Oh, well, okay, that's... I'm okay with that because it's, like, it's one fucking mission, and it's and you get an exotic out of it.
Yeah, but this is, like, the core narrative, right? Like, we're in-game experiencing what it's like to be clambering all around inside these pyramids and seeing these characters
be
like,
really?
Damn. Yeah.
I thought those exotic missions were just the next thing. No, I thought those exotic missions were just for like a little side story. It's
no,
not
I
like
think
core
they're
narrative.
Pretty important.
Really? Their core narrative?
Yeah, last season, the season before you and I started playing, there was this whole like season mission about like the characters went back in time and saved this cool dude named Saint 14.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't pay for the season pass then, so I didn't get any of that.
Oh, no. AJ, I hate to break it to you, but Destiny's a bad game.
Dang. I am going to play it later today, though.
Dude,
can we talk about another video game that I've been playing, though? Like, I love talking about, like, Avengers and how much we hate that game, even though we haven't touched it.
I mean, it's a great role model game. Very, very good. All right, tell me about
it. And did chomp our flavor a little bit.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So there's this game out there right now called Genshin Impact, and I would have loved to have talked about it last week, but we had a guest on, and that took priority.
Mm-hmm.
Genshin Impact is a game that took Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and said, we can make it better. And then they did.
Oh, that's right!
And then we said, okay, Genshin Impact, that's pretty crazy of you to, like, build the whole magic system and build fun mechanics about, like, you know, you can put things on fire and then you use your cool swirly powers and get the fire everywhere. And if an enemy's on fire, you can shoot it with lightning and it takes bonus damage. All this fun stuff with the magic interacting with things. I have to make sure all of my devices are silent. But then they said, okay, this game rules. Let's add a character thing over it. You gather up a bunch of little friends and you go on an adventure. Blake, how do you think that you unlock those little friends?
You have to go defeat them in battle out in the wild.
It's a gacha system, baby.
Wait, what? Oh, wait, no, I remember you fucking telling me about this. You gotta random roll the characters.
Yes, Fate or Pokemon Masters or Dragon Quest.
No, let's be honest. Puzzle Dungeons Quest. And Dragons is a gacha game. You gotta pay.
Dungeons and Dragons is
you gotta,
Actually, I think there is a Dungeons and Dragons called like Idle Heroes on your phone game.
That doesn't surprise
me. It's a gacha game.
Dungeons and Dragons is pretty sold out at this point.
It's like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, but if you could have a bunch of different characters and all those characters were locked to a gacha.
See, I don't like that idea because here's the thing.
But it's free to play. Like this game is free. Right. There's plenty of characters that are in the game that are given to you, so you can still play most of the game fine.
Sure. But I like the idea of, like, let's use a fighting game, for example. Like, you are going through Street Fighter, you're going through Tekken. How you unlock characters is you have to progress through the story and then, like, defeat that character in battle, and then now you can use them in your fight. Mm-hmm. The idea of, like, I don't know, like, it just might just be me personally, is, like, I'd like to know how much time a game will cost me ahead of time. Because there's an investment. Like, there's so many games out there to play. And then the idea of a gacha game being like, hey, I would really love to play this, but not knowing how long I need to play it to get to the stuff that I want to just sounds more like a waste of time.
No. You can play the whole game. You just maybe won't get the cool little ice boy.
Yeah.
You can play through this whole game. You're not going to get the little ice lad.
Yeah, but like...
No ice lad for you.
You pick up a game because you want to play a specific character. Like, I pick up Doom because I want to play Doom Guy. I pick up Dishonored because I want to play, like, Emily Caldwin and Corvo. Like, that, I don't know. Like, I feel like just logging in. But then again, there is a lot of
that I've gotten just from playing the game's story.
Okay, Okay. I mean, yeah, maybe this is just, like, a good, like, idea for a game for, like, pushing you to do things out of your normal play style. Like Hades, like when I first booted up Hades, I thought I was just going to be nothing but like the spear or the shield guy, but like the mechanic of you get more XP depending on which one you go in makes you improvise and makes you experience new shit that's out of your comfort zone. So maybe this game leads into that.
Played a gacha game before?
No, because I've seen what it's done to you.
You're not getting it. You see the glory of a gacha game.
The gambling aspect or the
beauty of a gacha game is not the characters that you get. It's about the characters you don't get. It's like jazz. You know how jazz is like, it's about the beats you don't get?
No, that is absolutely not what jazz is about. Jazz is quite the opposite. It's like, hey, I feel this thing. I'm going to go do this thing right now. That's what jazz is about.
It's about the beats you don't hit. It's about the characters you don't get. Snag in the gotcha. It's about knowing that your friend wants the really, really sexy librarian character, and you get it, and you rub it in their face, and you say, ha 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 ha.
Okay.
I got this person.
Okay. I can get behind that. But here's the thing that determines for me.
You haven't played a gotcha game?
I have never played a gotcha game because I've seen what it's done to people, and I feel like I can get gotcha games via osmosis because. Actually,
I silenced this device. Other device. Hold on, let me find my cell phone.
while you're finding your cell phone, it's a little quick story via gacha game. So AJ is very, very into Fate Grand Order. I'm very supportive of him and his addiction. He hasn't spent real money on it yet, so I'm very, very proud of him.
Well, that's not true.
I'm disappointed now. but Fate Go is the only time I've ever seen somebody literally drive an hour to go to a beach to like increase the vibes for a certain summon and getting that summon.
Yeah,
You needed
Summer Arturia was hanging out at the beach. So I had to go to the beach and get my beach vibes going so she would come hang out.
And to clarify, this is not like Pokemon Go where like Pokemon are limited to certain areas. This is like a fucking... like gamble. Like this is like there was no
it's magic first
it is,
of all
okay it's yes it's the belief of magic it and you went there and you got it, and I remember us being like so fucking hyped for you and just like because it's just like I think the joy of gacha games for me is just seeing my friends have a good time. I'm like, okay, cool, they're having a good time, and that's enough for me.
I'm going to sucker you into a gacha game and you're going to get just horribly in deep.
AJ, If they came out with a Berserk gacha game, I would be the first in line.
So Crunchyroll has a gacha game. I forget the name of it. I think it's called like something Summoners, and they are about to do, or they just did, a Berserk crossover.
See, I don't want to have to play a whole nother game just to get my Berserk. I want Berserk exclusive.
Well, this game gets all sorts of characters. It's got One Punch Man in there. It's got Konosuba characters. It's got like Digimon in there somewhere.
It just snags
a bunch of anime character rights and then puts them into a gacha game. You're so wise and strong and powerful.
I only have so many hours to give, man. All right, before we jump into game submissions, here is 2 weeks ago we did a panel for our newest flagship console. Here's a little snippet from the showcase.
Spiritual Successor Games.
Hello, and welcome to our new state-of-the-art digital press conference. Today, we have the pleasure of introducing the next half-step in the gaming evolution.
I could see many of you are excited, which is perfect! See, we here at Spiritual Suck understand gamers, and we aim to prove it today while we show you a collection of console features and reveal a few JPEGs of upcoming games.
Yeah, I'm easily steered by the implications of a game!
Now, as you can see here on our large digital screen, we have two JPEGs of two different video games. One is Working Class, and the other is Beautiful Joe Action Attraction. These two key images will be all that we show you for a long, long time.
Woohoo! This is literally all I needed! The Suckbox won the console war! Woo!
But we're not done yet, are we, AJ?
No, we are not, Blake. You see, today we are excited to tell you, not show you, some of the most exciting things about our next generation.
First, we want to stress that we hear all of our audience's issues. You all want true backwards compatibility. We are excited to announce that the Suckbox series will be compatible with all novelty controllers. The Nintendo Donkey Kong Bongos, the Nintendo GameCube mic, the Nintendo Hey Pikachu controller, and the Nintendo Mario Dance Pad.
What about the Nintendo Power Glove?
What about the Nintendo ROM?
What about Game Boy SP card?
We have announced two JPEGs. How are you still mad?
Second, our company is focused on fixing the digital marketplace for our consumers.
The worst thing about the digital marketplace is that you can't make connections. You lose the feeling of another person telling you, "That'll be $60, sir." And don't we miss that human transaction?
So we slapped on this sweet fucking credit card machine.
I know. They said we couldn't do it. They said it wasn't cost effective and that it didn't make any sense, but we showed them. Stupid lawyers. Stupid lawyer Jerry.
Antitrust laws or whatever. Well, I got something you can trust, Jerry from Legal. I trust that we're about to make a shit ton of money. How about that?
Woo! Baby, money!
See that, Jerry? You see this crowd? They love us.
And that, dear gamers, wraps up today's showcase.
Thank you, and fuck Jerry from Legal.
Thank you so much for reminding me that that existed, Blake, because I totally forgot.
Most people did. It was a very forgetful showcase. We didn't make the top page of IGN, which is kind of sad. It was a very small showcase. People lost their shit, though. Like, the idea of, like, Donkey Kong Bongo seeing a resurgence in 2020, I think. It was the least expected thing, but I think people are most excited for it.
That is the thing that most people are excited for, but I think the thing that most people are talking about is how much they hate Jerry. So
yeah,
that's nice
yeah,
to see.
Fuck Jerry from Legal. Oh, yeah.
I hate Jerry
from
Legal.
See, AJ and I...
He's dumb and doesn't understand
money. Here's the thing. AJ and I are really dedicated towards making the worst games possible and making just like the most fucking batshit experiences that make us the most money. Jerry is the reason we sometimes have to make a good game. He's like, we just gotta make games that are fun. Like, why can't games be fun and just joyful and good pieces of media? And we're like, fuck you, Jerry, you don't get it. You don't get the art. We're two geniuses here with big ass brains coming up with games based off of other IPs than making them terrible. That's what
we don't get to decide where the lightning strikes. We have lightning and it's going to strike everything. We hope that it's going to strike something that people love so we can destroy it. But sometimes it will strike sand and make a beautiful glass thing so that people can carve a swan out of it.
A beautiful glass thing.
In case anybody's wondering how I know that lightning striking makes glass happen, I watched the movie Sweet Home Alabama a bunch when I was a kid.
Oh, I thought you were going to quote that scene from Bionicles where, like, the fire and the earth guy are like, fire and earth makes glass. You remember that sweet fucking scene from Bionicle the movie?
No, probably not. I do not.
Probably not. Dude, you're missing out. He surfs lava in that movie.
That does sound really dope. Although he is made of metal, so it's probably just the same as, like, surfing water for him, huh?
Yeah, that's true. It's like, yeah, surfing lava. Yeah, what's up?
You want to give me a video game?
We are coming up on the 15-minute mark, huh?
We're a quarter of the way through the show.
Gonna be editing that. Our first mission comes to us on Reddit from user Too Many Bees. One person says a job, the other says a genre. Combine them to make a game with an unlikely hero. Examples: scientist plus FPS is Half-Life. Engineer plus horror equals Dead Space.
All right.
So which one do you want to be? You want to be genre or you want to be job?
I want to do genre because I know that if I leave you to get genre, you're just going to say neo-noir.
What? No. You give me, you think too little of me.
Okay. You ready to roll?
All right. Yeah, I do have a cool job that's very cool.
All right.
Underwater welder.
Neo-noir.
You fucking son of a bitch. But actually, wait, hold on. You're onto something. Well, actually, no, they've already done that. I was going to say an underwater noir. I'm like, that sounds genius. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, Burial at Sea exists.
I was going to say just Bioshock, but yeah.
Just Bioshock. Okay. Okay. How can we turn an underwater welder into a noir story? And also, everything I'm thinking, like, underwater neon lights, I'm like, oh, they already did that. That's Bioshock. Hey, you want to try
That's
this
BioShock,
again?
Isn't
it? You want to try this again?
Yeah, let me try again. Let me think about a genre not neo-noir.
Yeah, give me a legit, like, and do you want me to think of another job, or do you want to keep with the underwater welder?
Yeah, think of a different job.
Okay.
Well, I think of a genre. Give me a minute.
All right, I have the next job I want to do.
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Three.
Two, one. Lumberjack.
Coming of age story. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So it's Life is Strange, but with a lumberjack. Yes. Okay. So the elements of any good coming of age story is like they do their life one way that isn't working, and the journey is finding out what is the correct way to go about their life. Like Napoleon Dynamite was. They are trying to, you know, fit into what is going on. They're trying to fit into their uncle's, you know, to what their uncle thinks a man, quote, should be. You know, play football, be manly. But he learns at the end of it is like he's going to be his weird self who likes to draw and do kick-ass fucking dances. So what is like the way, what's the wrong way
that we want to lean into? Do we want to lean into like a Napoleon Dynamite? Maybe Lady Bird.
Ooh, Lady Bird would be a good one.
I'm interested in a super bad style coming of age story. Maybe we have a young lumberjack.
Careful ground
about
there. That movie walks some questionable
ground. Yeah, we're not
going to
deal with any of the yucky things or like the teenage drinking or any of that stuff. Any of the stuff that feels like ooh, I can't believe AJ would like advocate for that. Assume I'm not advocating for that. Yeah. What I'm imagining is we have a young lumberjack, like this youthful lumberjack that's like, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the night. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fuck up so many trees. I hate those things so much. I'm going to fuck them up and tear down. I'm going to destroy a whole forest. Woo!
Hey, there's a party go, because this is small town America. And instead of like regular like parties, they do parties where they're doing activities. So it's like, hey, are you going out to the tree cutting rave that's happening this Friday night? We're going to just blast some rave music, wear glow sticks, and cut down trees. So is it him prepping for this? Like, does this game take place over the course of a night or a week? Or is it like...
I think it's one week and there's like this tree. There's this tree cutting rave that's going to be happening, but there's one tree that's the biggest tree in town and no one's ever been able to cut it. And our character's like, I'm going to do it. Oh, I'm going to cut down. Could you give me a cool tree name?
The coolest tree name is, like, I think Iron Oak. Iron Oak Tree?
No,
Iron
not the name wood, of a tree. I want a name for a tree. Like Moby Dick is the name of a whale.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Sawtooth. Old Sawtooth.
Sawtooth. So our little lumberjack is like, I'm going to cut down old Sawtooth this weekend, this Saturday night. I'm going to be the one to do it. And so you have to spend the week prepping yourself out. Like, how does our little lumberjack lad, little lumberjack lad, how's little lumberjack lad going to destroy old Sawtooth?
You know what would be so funny is the opening scene is like him at school, and then like this one lumberjack woman comes over and picks on him for like, what's the biggest tree you've cut down? And like in arrogance, like, because I think like any coming of age story is where they get in over their head or like say, I'm going to do something that they that just can't possibly fulfill without transforming. He's like, I'm going to cut down old Hickory, and he yells it at her and like the rest of the school. Is like, you watch me at the rave this Friday night. So like the whole plot of it is him prepping and training and trying to figure out the best way to like improve himself to where he can cut down old Sawtooth. So
he's going to get into some buck wild misadventures, right? Maybe there's a day where he explores the idea of like, well, could I just burn it down instead? And then like, you know, he gets into some misadventures at the match factory.
Oh God.
And like, maybe another idea is...
We've talked about also one. There needs to be a, like every coming of age story is like they're gonna go to the him and his buddies are gonna go to like a dress up store and they're just trying on different outfits. Like, what's the best, like, to be the best lumberjack? You gotta look like a lumberjack. So there's just this dress up sequence where it's just different flannel like accessories. So you have like a full one piece flannel suit. You have like the jeans that come up like to your mid waist with like the what are they called? The straps. And it's just like, it's a dress up sequence, but everybody's wearing flannel is what I'm getting at. And
you
know what this kind of reminds me of? The idea of that. What's up?
I want this game, and this is kind of a weird poll. You know how like the beginning of those open world games, like the beginning of a Saints Row or the beginning of a Grand Theft Auto, you do all of these like open world objectives where like you have a companion character that's like, oh, let's walk around and talk about this thing while we explore the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want this game to feel like that. Like, it has that open world, open town aesthetic, but there's always somebody holding your hand. Like, I want you to, when you go into the store to look at your cool lumberjack clothes that you're going to buy, I want there to have been, like, actually that process of you in this small town riding your bike or your tractor or whatever it is that your vehicle is. Maybe there's a whole, like, mission about getting a good vehicle. You drive that over to the lumberjack store, and then you start, like, purchasing your lumberjack outfits.
That's cool.
I want, like, this expansive small town with a timer as you're prepping to cut down Old Hickory. Is that what the tree's name too?
Sawtooth. Old Sawtooth.
Old Sawtooth.
Are you implying this is, like, I know we quote this game all the time, but I do think it has really good, like, a ticking clock mechanic, Deadly Premonition.
Not Deadly Premonition, you're thinking of Left 4 Dead.
No, Deadly Premonition also has a time-based thing where it's like,
these people
are going to be here at like 9 o'clock, so you have some time to kill and then you can go there. Like, I think Dead Rising took that idea and made it like much more like concise. But there was like a lot less room for error in Dead Rising, in my opinion. Like, if you find out like you don't get like the most of these cases done, you just can't finish the fucking game. So like you kind of wasted a run, in my opinion. Well, but then again, you still get experience. So like
that does make the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so good. I want that. I want this like level. I think that if you fail the run, you get a bad end and you do have to start the game over. But maybe there is like a little bit of like a new game plus system.
How about this? So maybe there are multiple ways you can go about defeating old Sawtooth and like proving that, you know, like you're a grown person and you know you have worth. Not to say like you have to do these things to impress other people to do your worth, but the core of the story is like overcoming this obstacle and growing from it is what gives him worth. What if this is like Goat Simulator in the sense of it's an open world and there's a bunch of different ways you can go about things. So like, hey, on this run, I found out I'm going to go down this supernatural thing and I'm going to get weird, like little powers that allow me to try and do this. But that doesn't work out. This run, I'm just going to do an all-fashioned run, or I'm going to like try and make the most money to where I can get a team of people, like a team of like cronies to help me chop this thing down together. Could something like that work? But then,
yeah, I love the idea of there being alternate routes.
Like, I'm trying to think of like what resets it. So like in Hades,
oh, he wakes up from a bad dream. He wakes up and like he's failed the mission, and he wakes up and he's like, oh, what a bad dream. Whoa, what a crazy dream.
He wakes up like after them saying they're going to take on Old Sawtooth. Like it's like, yeah, the, like Sunday, the day after that interaction.
Yeah, Friday night, a Friday night, he says, check this out. Next Saturday, I'm going to destroy Old Sawtooth. And then like the game starts on Saturday and it's like 7 days remain. And you just start exploring the town. You leave your house and you're like, all right, well, I guess first things first, I have to decide where my first stop's going to be. Maybe like your mom's like, oh, could you go down to the grocery store and pick up some groceries? And like that's kind of the tutorial of you understanding that, like, you know, you have a way to travel around town. You have a way to like purchase things in a store. You have a way to communicate with like NPCs when you walk towards them.
Mm-hmm. So what would be... Because I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the... Because if this is a coming-of-age... Actually, you know what? Hold on. Let's put a pin in this. Let's talk about some other games. Yeah.
All right.
So you want to give... Let me grab one. Yeah. I really do like this idea, and I think there's some legs there. There is definitely nug potential for old Sawtooth. I just also want to... We got a lot of submissions this week, and I would love to share some of them.
This comes from Blue on Twitter, at Blue Substitute. Blue Substitute suggests... Cthulhu? The Dreaming Dead old ones have woken up as dreamy anime characters with no memory of their past. You have to help them discover themselves without ushering in the end of the sane age.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. So for those that don't know, the lore of like the Cthulhu mythology is basically all of the great old ones are like, you think Cthulhu or N'Arthotep. Fucking H.P. Lovecraft didn't know how to write words, so like sometimes the names are just like impossible to pronounce.
Keyboard smashed.
That's also kind of part of the lore, is that like humans don't have the ability to physically say these names. But basically they're all sleeping and they're all dreaming, and the whole goal is that when they wake up, the world actually like ends and implodes on itself. They don't necessarily know if it's a Link's Awakening style, which is like an amazing fucking video game and story, where once the egg hatches and the whale wakes up, the whole island disappears. Like there's this idea that if they wake up, the earth and all that we know of reality will blink out of existence. And there are other things where, like, if Cthulhu wakes up, he's at the bottom of the ocean, so like everything will come into a tidal wave. So how do we take cosmic horror and make it really fucking hot?
Well, easy. First of all, we just have to think about like the common traditional views, right? Cthulhu always has like this like beard looking like tentacle thing, kind of like Davy Jones from the hit movie Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3. So maybe then there's like one scene where like he gets turned back into a human and he just has like this big beard instead of like the crazy tentacles. So obviously Cthulhu is going to be this like real hunky bearded gentleman.
Mm-hmm. So
what do people usually draw Narlathotep to look like?
They are very, very, very tall, very, very lanky. I always pictured
sexy in a rat kind of way.
Well, Narlathotep is also, there have been renditions of them depicted as an Egyptian man. Supposedly so fucking hot he can conquer the world, which is definitely something we should be leaning into.
I'm seeing a lot of Narlathoteps got like a big tentacle on the top of their noggin, so definitely it's somebody with like a high ponytail that's like their hair's really long.
They look like Gon from Hunter x Hunter.
Well, I was thinking less like Gon and more like somebody maybe with a rat tail, but yeah.
Ooh,
a Gon situation might be nice too. Just like really, really long hair. They're like very lanky. Maybe something more akin to the twins from How to Train Your Dragon. Like that general body shape. You got any other cosmic horror monsters that I can assign archetypes to?
I actually have a I actually have a book right here to my right of a bunch of different Cthulhu monsters. Hold on one second. All right, so you have Azathoth, you have a deep one, you have Elder Thing, you have Fungi from, you have Yugoth, you have...
Okay, Azathoth, I'm immediately running into an issue. If you could hook up a quick Google search for Azathoth and try to tell me how you would make this into like a nice, pretty anime character.
It's a slime girl.
Well, it's just a big worm in space, isn't it?
It's just a big worm. That has like that looks like a weird like fungal thing.
this one's a tough one to crack, huh?
Okay. Here's the thing. Before we decide on all of our monsters, what is the backdrop of to the show, and what is like what is a game that we can think of that is comparable to something like this? Cause I'm thinking along the lines it's a dating sim. Okay, let's. Dream Daddy's a great example. So, what is the setup? So, what I'm thinking is this is actually after they woke up and the world ended, when Cthulhu and all of the other deities of the Cthulhu universe woke up, the world blinked out of existence and reset. What came out of it, our real world turned into an anime dating sim. So this is post-apocalypse. So like everything's kind of like.
Is the goal here to get them to sleep with you so that they will sleep forever? Are you trying to get them back to sleep? Is that the angle?
That's not what I was thinking, but like that's an interesting angle to play. And maybe here's the thing. Maybe it doesn't need to be sexual. Like maybe the whole game is about like getting them into such a calm place that they fall asleep again.
Yeah, you just gotta get him to chill out and lay down. Take a little nap.
Yeah, Cthulhu really loves the ocean. So what's your character gonna do? You're gonna do that's the beach episode where you take.
Yeah, how do you get a sailor to take a nap?
You take all of the Cthulhu monsters and it's a beach episode. AJ, hold on. We release this, it's episodic, so like a Telltale game. So like each episode is a different like Cthulhu god. You have to figure out the right route to put that monster back to bed. But
I'm very interested in an episodic dating sim.
So like, and then, because like at the end of the day, and maybe that's kind of the bittersweetness of it, of like your character knows that they are, you know, these monsters that can bring the apocalypse to the world. And so, but there's this bittersweet thing of like these monsters don't know who they are and don't know what their powers are. So like you could actually fall in love with them, but it's like so it's one of those like loves that was not meant to be. And that's kind of the vibe of the whole story. Like each you talk to Cthulhu and he's like, you find out Cthulhu's a super big, environmentalist. Thank you so much. I'm a fucking idiot. He's just a big environmentalist. And like, you just like see why he's so passionate about protecting the ocean. It's like you play the antithesis of the Cthulhu monsters primarily for two reasons. One, it would be really nice to see those monsters being nice. And two, I think a lot of Cthulhu mythos is powered by racism and homophobia. And what's the thing where you just hate people from different worlds than you? Xenophobia. I would love to take those themes and shit on them and then like turn them into something nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. So just so that I'm kind of up to date, what we're proposing is the setup is that the worlds have sort of blinked out of existence and you are, for whatever reason, responsible for bringing these beings back to rest. We're on the world. There's no one else here except for these people and these beings that have all been personified and you just need to get them to rest again so that we can start over.
Also, the reveal is that, you know what the end of this game is? It's revealed that you are also one of the Cthulhu monsters and the game ends with you going to sleep. Like your eyes like slowly blink close and you just like, and then like the screen
maybe
goes
you're
back
Azathoth.
And then you can hear like, maybe you're Azathoth and like you, because Azathoth I believe is like the leader of all, because Cthulhu is like, I know a lot of people think they are like the core thing for the Cthulhu mythos, because Cthulhu mythos, but I think Azathoth is like the god of, is the god of all gods, basically. So that would actually, that would make sense, because they're like, hey, the balance needs to happen again, and everybody needs to go back to bed.
I love this like episodic like dating simulator. Essentially, like we get one episode for Azathoth, or one episode for Cthulhu, and it's like this fun little adventure about you meeting the sailor, falling in love with this sailor, understanding who this sailor really is, and eventually just getting cozy enough to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would move on to the one with the really long ponytail who's really scary looking, and I don't know what that story is yet. But what this would do would be like six.
They're a hairstylist. They're a hairstylist. AJ, they're a hairstylist. They're a
hairstylist, and they have no one to like hairstyle for other than you. So you just go in and you sit down, and you have this like long, like 4 hour journey and this 4 hour character exploration with these characters.
I think there should be other people in these universes, because I have seen dating sims where there's just like no other people other than the main characters, and it makes the conversations very repetitive, because it'll just be like, oh, nobody's around, so let's do this thing.
But okay, then again, so there's everyone's also still alive. Actually, these people are here. If they realize who they are, you know who they are. You know that's Cthulhu.
Yes,
you know
that's
tension. Narlathotep. You need to help these people find peace before they go become completely unstable and end the world. Each one of them is capable of it.
AJ.
So,
every dating game has a rival. Or your rival is just some. It's just like another.
Every dating game has a rival. What are you fucking talking about? Oh, you mean like? Do you mean like a person, or do you mean like somebody else that is also trying to date all these people?
Yeah,
because I've never once
played
a dating game that has another person trying to date these people. What are you talking about?
Really? Actually, now that I think about it, you're right. Like, actually, I don't know
you
where the fuck I got
things.
That idea.
You just said a word.
Hey, at least I'm admitting I made a fucking mistake. Come on. Cut me some slack here. I could have sworn. Maybe that's just a trope I got from like fucking movies. Yeah, like movies. But could you do something like that where there is actually a rival in this game? Where that is trying to do the opposite is like to keep, like they're like, they're somebody that is like, their activities for dating the old ones are like things that like thrill them, like things that would wake them up. So like doing more extreme shit rather than sleepy shit.
Yeah, because like one of the things that we're going to wrestle with doing this episodically is like, what carries the through line from one point to the other to the other? How do we keep upping the ante? How do we keep the excitement going? And that would be by introducing this other variable that seems to be trying to egg on these awakened ones and end the world. You play as Azathoth, trying to keep these people back to rest so that you don't have to end the whole world because they're all awake and they don't know. Maybe you're incredibly lazy. The awoken ones are up, but they don't really know why they're up yet. So you're just like, five more minutes, please.
See, you know what would be so cool?
So you're trying
too?
To get them all asleep. There's a different awoken one, maybe, that is just as aware as you and is like, we gotta go. I'm sick of it. We're ending it all. So you try to get these people back to rest. You're trying to get Cthulhu to take a little nap on the beach side and go to sleep forever. Not dying. Kind of dying. They're weird.
Well, so, I think what would happen is the moment they have such a deep rest, their body dematerializes. And it's like this really beautiful, like kind of glittery sequence where like, because the whole thing is that it's like cosmic horror. So what if it's like we turn it into cosmic love? So like their glitters like evaporate and rise towards the sky and become like the stars in the sky. Ooh. And that's like how each chapter ends, basically.
And if you do the chapters
like,
well
like
enough,
that squid,
because
it's like...
There's no real right way to play an episodic game, I don't think, except this one there will be like the right way to play it. And you have to go through every chapter kind of detecting the clues that you can from this separate force until the end of the game. If you've done really, really good through all of the episodes and you got to our season finale, you can eventually get this rowdy, nasty person to just chill out and come take a nap with you. And then you're going to nap forever.
Oh, that's right. So, like, the person, you know what you could do is that, because Azathoth, I think, has, like, these, like, lesser beings that are always hovering around it. Maybe, like, those are one of, it was, like, maybe they're tied to you in some way. They're, like, they are also Azathoth as you are Azathoth. So, like, once you guys nap together, that, like,
and
that,
it's,
I
like,
don't know,
kind of about finding peace.
Yeah, finding peace, coming to terms with, like, the two sides of yourself and all that stuff. So it's like, it's just like a really, really wholesome sleeping dating sim.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Episodic,
okay,
though. You'd kind of launch into basically a scenario already because it's episodic. And you don't have, like, real control over who you're going to date.
Mm-hmm.
Dating one sim thing is a very loose term for what this is.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's like, it has set endings. It's like dating sims, like, there's multiple options that you can do. And all of those options can end various different ways. So this is like, let's think of it more as like a Telltale game about dating the Cthulhu gods and putting them back to sleep. One thing I do want to recommend, though, is like one big thing about, like, you know, Call of Cthulhu, the role-playing game, or any sort of video games or media relating to it, a lot of it is about traveling the world. So what I think would be really cool is that your character, in each episode, it's in a new city. So there's new things to experience. It's like a new culture, new world.
Yeah.
And it's like this world encompassing adventure. And it's just like, and that way it keeps things fresh. That way all of the visuals are like really, really cool and really, really different episode to episode.
Yeah, each episode is a dating simulator for this one specific character. And this would be the first time that anybody's going to have a like an episodic game that they're going to bother replaying the episodes for. We're going to go ahead and space out the episodes again like they used to be back when nobody played these games. Except now they're going to have a reason to be like, I'm going to pick this up for two or three more runs because I want to see what happens if I take Cthulhu out to the bar rather than the beach. Or I want to see what happens if I invite Cthulhu to come hang out at the aquarium instead of the bar. Like, I have different places that I can take Cthulhu, different scenes that I can do with him. I want to explore all of these different possibilities to get to the end. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the art's got to be
super cute. Maybe you have to go through and do the game a couple different laps to get all the clues to get the good end at the season finale. So the season finale will, in order for you to get like the good true end, the game would have expected you to kind of go through these little time loops multiple times to truly understand yourself.
I think there should be an element of item collection. So you will have like, hey, you need to make sure you have the tickets for the carousel at the dwarf. When you're like, so let's say Cthulhu is in San Francisco, very nautical themed town, and then you have a Ferris wheel at the wharf, but you have to make sure you got the tickets earlier on in that episode. So maybe something like that. But also there should be like one item hidden away in every episode that will only become relevant in the final episode where you're trying to calm the other side of yourself. So, like, play, you have to make sure you get, like, items from, it makes each episode feel a little bit more important towards, like, the final episode. And there's just, like, any dating game that has, like, a little bit of a puzzle element is very fun. Heck yeah. All right. I think that's a game. Let me, you want me to pull up another one?
Yeah, let's get one more and then let's pick a nug.
Okay. This one comes to us on Twitter from Killer Shrew Davenport @_Davenporter. The Grim Reaper is fucking bored as shit and is starting a podcast. Traverse the underworld, slay demons with your scythe mic, and get answers to history's greatest mysteries from the dead who were there. Heaven's pissed, but the mattress ad money is just starting to roll in. So what I'm getting from this is that you're literally fighting for your interviews. So like you have a scythe mic and is it like a thing where you are traversing a part of hell to get to your boss fight, which is an interview? Is that kind of the vibe? I think that's kind of the vibe that they're going for.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. The question is, do we want to do like an action game or like a puzzler game?
I would love to do a rhythm game. The idea of like the Grim Reaper doing like... you remember there's this arcade that AJ and I went to eons ago when the world was cleaner. The world wasn't as sick. It's called the One Up, I believe, or it was an arcade that had a bunch of Japanese themed games.
Round one.
There's this one game where you had two orbs in front of you, and you kind of had to like spin them in the direction of the game. So like, it's like Guitar Hero where you have to it's hard to explain non-visually. You had to rotate the ball in the orientation of where the lines on the screen were going. So like,
yeah, so you had a little spaceship and it was, I know the game you're talking about. Yep. You had like a little spaceship kind of, and it was running on a track, but along the track, there'd be these little circles, and these little circles would point in a direction, left, right, up, down.
Mm-hmm.
And when your little spaceship hit that node, you had to flick the little circle analog stick knob that you had into that direction.
So what if you did something that combines that and there is a mic in front of you? So like you have to use your hands to orient where the Grim Reaper is on the screen to avoid obstacles. But all of your powers and all of your attacks are you have to scream into a microphone to activate them. So like so you have to like use your hands frantically, and then you have to like it could be. Maybe it would be word activate. I mean, like, this is a hypothetical game, so anything's possible. So you have to, like anime style, scream your super move. So, like, when Goku uses Kaioken, he screams Kaioken. Or, what's another
one? So you're saying you run Grim Reaper, Grimmy. Mm-hmm. You run Grimmy through, like, the dungeon here. Like, you're controlling where he moves and stuff. But then to attack, you have to say slash, slash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Backslash.
Yes. Yes.
Counterattack.
Yes.
Block.
Yes. Yes. All right. So there's okay. There's our combat. So now the other things we need to integrate are, is the ranking system like how well you did on during an episode, let's say. So like an episode of the podcast would fighting.
I want to focus on the episodes of the podcast now.
Yes.
Before we get to the scoring, because what this immediately makes me think of.
Well, what I'm thinking of the scoring is your ad money. So like that's just the simple thing.
There
so,
we go.
So basically it's just like at the end of an episode, which is the fight and the podcast interview or whatever. At the end of each episode, you're like, hey, you made this much ad money during this podcast episode. That's all I'm thinking for that.
And then that ad money can be used for like upgrades and other ads that you can throw on to make more passive income.
Yes.
This rules. Here's
you can buy better. You can buy better
works.
Equipment. You can buy like a better podcast mixer. So like when you scream something that has an area effect, it gets much bigger as the game goes on. So like your area damage gets wider is what I guess what I'm saying.
So we know how the money works out now. I need to talk about the podcast itself, right?
Okay.
You've fought your way to the boss, and really quick, how are we imagining the combat working? You mentioned, is it just on a railroad the whole way until you get to the boss?
I think with the boss, it'll be like a fight/interview. So each boss will be like, I accept your interview, but you must fight me at the same time. So it'll be like, hey... here's how it works. Here's how it works. So basically it's like little fight and then question. So like, hey, if he's going to throw an attack, let's say the first boss, I think you mentioned was Hercules, right? So let's say you're fighting Hercules first. He's going to attack the middle and left side lane. You need to really quickly slide the balls over to the right lane to dodge the attack. And after you dodge the attack, you can ask a question. So it's like you have to dodge, attack, and then you get the opportunity to ask a question. If you get hit, you do not get to ask a question, and their health bar is like you have to ask like x amount of questions to win this fight. Moreover,
so you're imagining three little railways for your character rather than just the one like the arcade game that we were mentioning before.
Yeah, think of it like Galaga, where you're like on one like slider basically. And there's like a bunch of different like rows of stuff that you can avoid or attack, or there's like little power-ups you can get along the way. And then you can then during boss fights, it's a matter of like traversing those three, like dodging attacks that hit those three different lanes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see now. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got it.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like, I'm going to give another more relevant cultural touchstone, if you don't mind.
Other than Galaga? You mean the game from 1981?
Yeah, I'm
going
to drag this out of Galaga and bring it to my good friend, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's the grinding sections when you have like four grinding rails that your character can be sliding on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make Sonic jump from rail to rail to rail to rail.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you're grinding on the rail, you might see an enemy coming up. And when the enemy touches Sonic the Hedgehog, or in our case, the Grim Reaper...
Mm-hmm.
You would say the line, attack.
Okay. You know, I have...
That's how the core gameplay loops? How the core gameplay is?
Yeah, I think that would be fun because you get to, like, like, the idea of playing a game that requires you to talk to it and scream at it just sounds really, really fun.
Okay. So we get to the boss fights, and the boss fights would then just be, like, the same thing, but now the boss fight is maybe moving up and down the rails. Mm-hmm. Maybe the camera angle is a little bit more top-down, and now we can really see... the way the battlefield runs.
We did just make like a 3D, like we just made a better version of Sonic Boom.
Okay. I now finally understand how the way that this game works.
Okay. So, and then the...
So how does the podcast work then? You're in your boss fight. Hercules says, I'm going to attack you 5 times. And you dodge all of his cool attacks. You close the gap and you get to Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think the game opens up into a little bit of dragon speech because okay. What I always experience in my day-to-day life, because my phone and all the technology around me is falling apart, my internet, my phone, I can't use any of the left border or any of the right border, meaning that letters like P or A or Q or backspace, I'm no longer able to use when I'm on my phone.
Sounds tough, bro.
So I have to use a lot of voice to text.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of voice to text.
Oh, no.
Voice to text is my most primary use of technology these days. So what we're going to do is when you close the gap and you get in to ask Hercules a question, you get to say, Hercules, how did you defeat the Hydra in 29 AD?
Mm-hmm.
And Hercules is then going to answer
mm-hmm.
because you did the voice to text. Now, you need to make sure that when you're doing this pronunciation, you need to make sure that when you do this question, you nail your pronunciation.
H-A.
Because if there's anything I've learned about podcasting, it's that you are constantly, constantly trying to be a better enunciator for your words. And this game will give us that frustration.
How about this? Because I want to throw a little wrinkle at that and like tie it into gameplay. So, because what you're pitching is that you have to use your own dexterity and your own pronunciation to make sure you do this right. What if
yes.
that ability is dictated by how much damage you've taken? So, like, if the more damage your character has taken during a boss fight, the worse your speech to text is. So then you have to like do it become the game becomes harder. It'll be like hey, you've taken X amount of damage. All of your vowels are going to sound fucking weird now. So like your question.
Yeah, like voice.
Yeah.
The voice to text will purposefully be worse mm-hmm. because your health is so low.
Mm-hmm. So like your ability to speak and ask questions is dictated by how well you are able to dodge attacks and dish them back out. And you every time, and it's like it's a constant give and take, because if you take damage, your ability to speak gets worse. But if you give damage, you gain confidence, and that allows your speech to text to be way more on point. So
damn near auto-filled.
Yes. So basically, if you are really good at this game and really good, it makes doing damage feel important, because like before that, I think it was, what is the point of doing damage? Is it just a dodging game at that point? Or like, and also you can do a thing like how well you did on the level before the boss fight could give you positives or negatives going into the boss fight.
Oh, I like
so
that.
So instead of less health, you have less, let's say, confidence during, because you gotta be really confident to be a podcaster, right? And so does the Grim Reaper.
You gotta be confident on mic.
That's fair. I mean, not everybody can have a really cool, like, awesome, sweet, cool, hunky, good talker friend like you, AJ, to cover for them.
No, you're right. Not everybody's as lucky as me.
So, okay, that's a game. And then you just, like, each level is going to a different famous person in hell. Like, you have to do a boat ride with Charon. Because Charon hates to talk. They do not like talking. So you gotta like beat them in a boat race across like the waves of the damned.
That'll be dope.
That would be pretty dope. All right.
Nug time.
What is our nug? Because I think we actually made like a couple good contenders this week, huh? We did our lumberjack lumberjack coming of age story. We did our Grim Reaper podcast simulator. Or podcast rail shooter, I guess would be a better thing. And then we did our dating, like an episodic dating game. What do you feel is like the one we should go with?
I want to lean into a lumberjack coming of age story of our little lumberjack lad.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to do an episodic dating simulator.
I feel the episodic dating simulator has more, like, I feel like we quantified it more than we did the Lumberjack. Because, like, I feel both of them, we don't really know what the gameplay loop is, but I feel like I have a better handle on, like, Cthulhu than I do Lumberjack dating game.
That's fair. So we want to jump over to that as our nug today?
Yeah,
Cthulhu.
I mean, it fits the vibe. It's not like I could say Narlathotep. Thank you. It fits the vibe.
So okay. Let's talk about this gameplay loop. Let's talk about what this game actually plays like. I was imagining something more akin to a Dream Daddy visual novel. You have portraits of areas that you can bring your character to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you're in the portrait style, you, in order to guide conversation, let's use the example of taking Cthulhu out to the aquarium. Mm-hmm. You can move your mouse around and you can click on a fish and that will trigger a conversation. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that anything is ever like signified as what you can click on. I think that you're laid out a portrait and you can click on anything. It's
you
just
have
that
a,
when
like,
you click
a little
on
town
something
map.
That would trigger a conversation, that conversation does happen.
Ooh, that's good. And then, like, you have to fill up, like, what, their heart meter or their sleepy meter or something like that?
You fill up their chill meter. This is a very much like you're trying to get them relaxed. Maybe they're very anxious when you first interact with them because, you know, they just woken up. They're stressed out. They know that they need to do something so important today, but they don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm. You know what'd be cool, too, because I feel like it would make it a little bit more layered is you look at Cthulhu. You can, like, look at the town map and you can get the broad strokes of what this person would like. At the beginning, let's say. So, like, when you think Cthulhu, they have a sailor cap on. So your immediate response would be like, oh, I should do something water themed. You take them to the aquarium. Not everything at the aquarium will be helpful towards relaxing them. Like going out and like going to like the tunnel where they can see all the fish is super relaxing. Going and petting sharks, it's gonna stress them the fuck out.
Yeah, don't bring Cthulhu around sharks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and so there, each area you have, like, each episode begins with a clue of how the character looks.
Now here's
so, like,
my question.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned that it's going to be episodic. Do we, because of this, do we want to err away from the 2D drawn style and move into a 3D world, or are we fine doing episodic 2Ds?
I think episodic 2Ds would be very fun.
Cool. Just making sure. Let's
continue with where you were going. Yeah, I think Dream Daddy did it pretty good, and I think we could do it too. But the idea, so each episode begins with, hey, you have a chance run-in with this dreamy anime person.
Well, it's not a chance. You know who they are. You're hunting them down.
You're right. You run into them in the middle of their daily lives, and you look at their appearance. So, like, you see the hairstylist has, like, that little thigh pocket where they keep their scissors. So you're like, oh, that's my hint that I should take them to somewhere involving hairstyling. And from there, now it becomes a puzzling game of, what are the activities in this area that will make them relax? And that's where, and then, you know, that, and out of that, you'll get your next hint of, like, what's the next place to take them? Because if you find the thing that relaxed them, they'll give you another line of dialogue that contains a clue of where to go next. So it's like, it is very linear, but it is like a lot of trial and error in each area.
Yeah, and another thing that I want to mention is you mentioned the idea of, like, these long-term collectibles. What I want to do also is you can stress out your date and get a bad end in the episode, but I think that in order for you to get all of those collectibles, maybe there are some areas where, like, you take your date to a wrong spot. Maybe you take your – we need a third example, please.
I don't know the name of it, but they're, like – it's basically – here it is. A Hound of Tyndalos. You have a dog walker person.
Okay, Tyndalos. Mm-hmm. So maybe this dog walker, Tyndalos, if you take Tyndalos to the dog shelter, maybe that just stresses them out really, really bad.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, there's a lot of dogs there that are pretty unhappy. So, but you need to take Tyndalos to the dog, like the dog shelter. Because while that is going to stress them out, there are collectibles there that you're going to need for the long haul. But you need to make sure that you get Tyndalos to that area and do well enough there that you're able to beat that level to get that secret long-term collectible.
Yeah, like each area has a bunch of, we can think of them as like positive mines and negative mines. There's like a bunch of things you can interact with, but like a mine, it could be like if you press the wrong thing, it explodes on you, and that lessens their relax level. And if it gets too low, like, I agree with you, the idea of like taking places where you have to take a risk and potentially run into negative things to get the items you need towards the end game, I think is really interesting.
Yes. I think also, here's the other thing that I want to mention. You and I talked about like the end game revealing that you were Azathoth the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you find out that you're Azathoth at the end of your first run in the game. Because I want Azathoth, I think, should have the mechanic ability for it. And what I want our game players to understand is that running through this time loop again and again on your first date or your second date or your third date
is your important. Power.
That's your power. That's important to do because you need to be doing it to get the long-term end goal.
Yeah.
So the end of our first episode, it's revealed that you're Azathoth, and now you're given the ability to rerun through and take your date to the more stressful areas to get those collectibles. But you do need to make sure that you still make it all the way through with a good end so that you can keep those collectibles.
I like the idea of the game ending because you bring up an interesting point that, like, one thing with any game that has like a reset mechanic, how do you justify it? How does that work within the story? So it's their power. But then my immediate thought is that if this is like a dating game, you need to play with the story that relationships can't be I think everybody has like had that fantasy of, man, if I could just rewind like 10 minutes and that way I can just make sure I can do every little thing right. So I just like, I can go into each situation and come out of it like 100%. I feel like the game needs to end with like all with that like idea being presented, you know, like if this is a dating game and your character is actually falling in love with all of these people, they
I
need
don't
to realize
that Azathoth has like a time manipulation thing. I think that Azathoth has a timeline manipulation thing. Because I don't want to imply the idea that Azathoth can just rewind time 10 minutes and then just be like, ah, well, luckily I missed that collectible 10 minutes ago, but I just reused my save file. You have to do a complete run through the stressful things to get those collectibles to get to the end of the date. And then that collectible is stored in Azathoth's inventory.
How about this? Yeah, they have the ability only when something awakens.
Yes.
So, like, it's not that they can choose when to restart. There is a window of time, would say, when Cthulhu wakes up, it'd be like, okay, that's when all the powers get unlocked and I'm able to reel it back to a set point in time.
Yes.
So they have to start over. So, like, that's the rules this world plays with is if a ancient one awakens, they're able to rewind it by, like, the day that they awoke. So, like, and maybe that's how each episode is. Each episode
it's
is
just like Ghost Whisperer.
I've never heard of that.
No, not Ghost Whisperer. The other ghost show. There's a ghost show where this lady, like, worked as a coroner or something, and then she, like, ran into a person that, like, was, like, a dead person. They'd be like, help me. And then she'd wake up, like, the day before on the day that they died, and she'd be like, great, I'm stuck in this time loop until I figure out how to save this person's life.
Is this a video game?
No, it's not a video game. It's a TV show.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay,
it was a really cool TV show, though. I'm really sad that I don't remember it.
Oh,
I think
shit.
It starred the same lady as Ghost Whisperer.
I could not tell you. Okay, so there's our game. So basically, it's just like going through each episode, trying to figure out like where are the mines at? What are the things that give them the most relaxation?
Yeah, and trying to get like the most collectibles so that when you get to the next one, you maybe have a little bit of a head. Maybe you can do some secret like bonus cutscenes if you got all the collectibles in the last one.
Yeah, totally.
This rules.
This does rule. Hell yeah. All right. So it's called Cthulhu. Is there any... Do we want to take up some boss fights for this? Or do you think this is not necessarily a boss fight?
I don't think this is a boss fight game. I think that this is the kind of game that, like, it's a narrative experience. It's discussion-based. And maybe we're going to hire in some, like, killer, like, writers, right? We're going to have, like, a nice scene where you talk with Narlathotep. And while she's cutting hair, you have, like, this really fun conversation about how much she loves... Like those little conversations you have with a hairdresser about how much she loves those little tiny conversations with a random person. You're gonna
also
have,
like just the smiles that she knows people have after they get a good haircut. Like, hey, because like for people, like for, at least for me, is like when I get a haircut, it's like a reset for me as a person. Like, hey, I'm looking pretty fucking good. This is awesome. And I'm imagining that makes her feel really good that she allows people to like achieve their best.
What we can do with this game is give a dating simulator that, like, while it is about like trying to help these people relax so that they don't destroy the end of the world, it is a dating simulator that will give our character and our players the ability to see a bunch of different walks of life and why people really find themselves in those columns. Why people actually find an adoration for hairdressing. Why people like being on a boat and seeing fish in an aquarium. Why people dedicate their whole lives to, like, caring for animals and working in dog shelters and trying to like move up in the world in that like kind of facet.
See, I love that idea because it's so like microscopic, not in the sense of like meaning, but like it's like the antithesis of cosmic horror. The idea of cosmic horror is that there are so many things bigger than us that we cannot understand or cope with, and that's terrifying. But what gives life meaning are those little things of like seeing like the hairdresser talking about, hey, this is my day job, and it gives my life meaning, it gives me purpose, it gives me love. And like I think that's just such a cool like fuck you to like the ideas of like being afraid of things bigger than us. And I love that. I actually really love that as a concept, dude. Fuck yeah, this game rocks.
This is a game.
AJ, we didn't make a stinky game. That was our goal, and we went into it, and we were like, fuck, shit.
Fuck.
Jerry from Legal is at work again. God, fuck.
Man. Oh, wait. I can fix it.
All right. What do you got?
Every episode has a season pass.
Every episode is like buying a full brand new game.
Every episode has a season pass, and you can only get experience during by doing loops. By doing consistent loops, you fill out the season pass, and that's how you get the collectibles. You're not rewarded for the late game stuff by in-game finds. You're rewarded for the late game stuff because of the season pass. You finish the season pass on our Cthulhu update, and then you get the collectible that you'll need for the true ending 8 months down the line when we finally release the final game. We cracked it! Thank you, Avengers, for being our shitty nugget. Yeah.
All right, cool. There we go. I'm happy we saved it in the last. There we go. We do have a quota to keep, and we can't be making great games, man. We gotta make the stinky ones.
Do you think an episodic game with a season pass works for making it stinky enough?
I mean, that's. I think that's what makes it stinky is that it doesn't work. Like, I don't look at Avengers and think of their battle pass, and I'm like, that works. I'm like, no, it doesn't work, and that's why I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, like, an episodic game with a battle pass, I feel like, is... That's shitty enough. Tragically, the world that we live in, it's only a matter of time. But, like, for now, it's still parody.
Admittedly, AJ, I'm okay putting on something that is supposed to feel like it's shitty, but isn't really, like, it isn't really detrimental to the game. I'm just trying to keep face here. I'm actually kind of low-key happy we made a good game. But totally. We'll put a fucking battle pass on this thing and make a whole lot of money. Hell yeah, I'm down. Down for it. Wink.
All right, I think we're ready to go to patch notes now.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to patch notes. We got another serious patch notes we kind of want to go into today. AJ, what do you got?
Please make sure that you are registered to vote. Here in California, we're starting to get our mail-in ballots shipped to all of us. So wherever you are, voting registration or voting times are here, so we need to be out there voting. If you are in an area that still has a deadline upcoming to get registered to vote, get registered to vote. Go to, I believe it's votesaveamerica.org, I believe?
Yes, I believe that is it.
Just Google Vote Save America, get registered, find out if you're registered, be ready to vote, and make sure that you do vote. This is the most important election that I've ever faced in my life. It's probably one of the most important elections that you've seen in your lives. Please register to vote and get your ballots shipped in.
Regardless of where you align, where we align, it's just important. Like, voting is a big thing, and I think this is going to decide a lot of fates for a lot of people. So I think it's being proactive in that is very important. And it's not hard.
I think with that, we're going to go ahead and leave this episode here. As always, thank you all so much for listening. Our intro and outro is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made. Go vote! Vote! It's important!
Go vote!
Vote!
Go vote! Go vote! 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 Vote!